are listening to the sermon podcast of Covenant Presbyterian Church. We are a community in Madison, Wisconsin, who gathers to worship, to learn, to serve, and to grow together in God's love. Please visit us online at www.covenantmadison.org, where you can find information about Covenant Ministries, as well as links to our online worship services and sermon podcasts.
Picture this. You wake up one morning and your whole world has changed. Your house feels different than it did before. The city is eerily quiet. You can't see your family anymore. Things that used to feel familiar are now far away. You've got a lot of time on your hands. You're left to your own devices, but you're also a little bit afraid, and with good reason. If this sounds familiar, it's not because I'm describing life in a global pandemic, for example, but it's because you've seen the 1990 Christmas classic, Home Alone. What I'm describing, the eerily quiet house and streets, the family far away, the being left to one's own devices, the fear, is what happens to little Kevin McAllister, played by Macaulay Culkin, on the first morning of his new reality in the movie Home Alone. His new reality is that he is now home alone. In a flurry to not miss their flights, his family sort of stumbles out of the house running late in the morning and gets on the plane, not to realize they've left little Kevin behind. And so Kevin wakes up, looks around the house, and says to himself, first a little worried, "I've made my family disappear." Soon after, however, he starts to take advantage of this freedom, running around the house, jumping on the bed, shoveling popcorn into his mouth, wearing pajamas all day, indulging in his newfound aloneness. Kevin is alone, left to his own freedom, his own indulgence, his own mischievousness, and his own devices. And he has a lot of fun at first. But little does he know, he will soon have to defend his house from two thieves who planned to rob the empty home. But even then, Kevin alone fends them off with a series of silly and somehow successful traps and snares, tar on the steps, paint cans swinging from staircases, super glue and feathers, ornaments and Legos placed sharp edge up. Left to his own devices, Kevin fends off the thieves and protects his home, all the while eating ice cream for breakfast. And year after year, people young and old have sat down to watch the movie Home Alone. It's a lovely movie filled with adventure, comedy, mishap, and thrill. It's a movie about being alone, all alone, and for better or worse, having to go at it alone, whatever it is. But perhaps the fantasy element of what we would do when we were left home alone, left to our own devices, away from our families, and sprinkled with just enough fear, is less than a fantasy or a thrill to us now. We know something of what little Kevin McAllister went through. Whether it's the eating popcorn in bed and ice cream for breakfast just because you can, the figuring out how to organize a house now that you're there all the time, or if it's how to mitigate those feelings that tend to creep in when we're alone with our thoughts for just a moment. Loneliness, worry, nostalgia, longing for the normalcy of life before. Longing to feel connected again, longing to not live in fear. It is exhausting to be worried all the time. It is difficult to be isolated. It is lonely to long for something that feels so far out of reach. It turns out we don't actually want to be home alone, at least not this kind of home alone. In the last 9 months, we've adopted a new and unfortunate refrain centering on the word alone. The refrain of alone echoes in our news media, our conversations, our nightmares. Living alone, stuck home alone, working alone, holidays alone, grieving alone, being hospitalized alone, giving birth alone, dying alone, being alone. It turns out we do not want to be alone. Thanks be to God that this is not the only Christmas plotline we are familiar with. There's another classic, another story that packs a punch. And no, it doesn't have big houses or robbers, ice cream for breakfast, or paint cans swinging from staircases. It's a different story. It is a story of a young woman carrying God incarnate into the world. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, reads that an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. Thanks be to God for the words of Scripture. Thanks be to God for this sacred story, this radical story, that God shall come to earth in human form, in a little body, and will be called Emmanuel. This Advent, in the midst of our own home alone plotline, we've also been in hopeful anticipation of the celebration of Jesus's birth. We're almost there. And we've asked ourselves this Advent, who is Jesus? And each week we've traveled these paths of Jesus as King of Kings, Prince of Peace, Savior. And today, Jesus as Emmanuel, a radical reminder that God is with us. And this Advent story is a radical story. It's radical because what we are told about this little person to be, what is immaculate about this story, is that this King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Prince of Peace, Savior of all, is also this little one, Emmanuel, this little person brought into unbearable circumstances of displacement and division, isolation and uncertainty, held and beheld by a patchwork family and a vulnerable body. The character of God as we know God is not King of Kings, Prince of Peace, Savior, without also being Emmanuel, God with us. A King, Prince, Savior who is with us, who became one of us. In this revelation, First, to Joseph and Mary, God reveals God's self as pure gift, holy surprise, a breath of fresh air, an invitation into relationship that lasts until the end of the age. As Jesus himself tells his disciples some years later. True to form, then, this story speaks into our times, our lives, our homes, our isolation and our division and our deep longing for the days of aloneness to be over. This story speaks into the frailty of our lives and reminds us that God is still showing up in the people and the places that we least expect. True to form, to the story of God's arrival on this earth, through people and places we never thought would be. Pure gift, holy surprise. Where have you experienced pure gift, a holy surprise, a breath of fresh air, a newfound or a reconciled or a held close relationship this Advent season? If you're looking for one, there will be a boy born called Emmanuel, and he will change the world as we know it. That sacred stirring, that holy surprise, first in the body of a young woman, then for our world, will stay with us always. And so that means we are in a season of waiting and watching for a miracle which has already arrived because it has never left us. Jesus, as Emmanuel, reminds us that we were never really home alone, after all. Thanks be to God. Amen.